VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, tragedy struck Uvalde, Texas yesterday. As an 18-year-old gunman opened fire at an elementary school, killing 19 children and two teachers, the gunman himself also killed. It's reported that one deputy sheriff lost his own daughter in this attack. This is the deadliest school shooting since Sandy Hook nearly a decade ago. Governor Abbott from Texas said Texans across the state are grieving for the victims of this senseless crime and for the community of Uvalde. Cecilia and I mourn this horrific loss, and we urge all Texans to come together to show our unwavering support to all who are suffering. He said, hearts are forever shattered. Uvalde CASD Chief of Police Pete Arredondo said, we definitely ask you all to keep the families that are involved in your prayers. The Uvalde CISD Superintendent, Dr. Hal Harrell, said, we're a small community, and we need your prayers to get through this. Indeed, many, many families are hurting. Uvalde is hurting. Texas is hurting. Our nation is hurting. Why are mass shootings happening? We know another tragedy at a shopping center in Buffalo, New York. Why is this taking place? Why are tragedies like this happening? Can they be stopped? Where do we go from here? Well, it's our privilege to have back in studio today Dr. Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, also heads Prophecy Focus Ministries. He's a speaker on the Prophecy Focus TV program, which airs on WVCY television. But prior to his pastoral ministry, his active pastoral ministry now, spent 32 years in law enforcement, including becoming acting sheriff of Milwaukee County in 2017 until his retirement in 2019. Pastor Schmidt, thank you for joining us here today.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for having me once again, and I wish I could say it's a pleasure to be here today, but based on the circumstances, it's a horrible day, a day of mourning. Yeah.
You have a background of over three decades in law enforcement and as much, even more, in ministry itself. Tell us what went through your mind, as you have this dual background of law enforcement as well as a pastoral background as this tragedy was unfolding in Uvalde, Texas.
Well, certainly from a pastoral standpoint, my heart is absolutely broken for these poor families. The unbelievable victimization that occurred, dozens and dozens of people, hundreds of people whose lives will never be the same, having lost loved ones, and especially these dear little children whose lives were murdered, killed. It's just heartbreaking. So obviously all of our hearts and every single person around the country today is hurting because of this extremely tragic event. From the law enforcement side, I'm angered. I'm upset. I'm very concerned about why in the world America, local government, as well as federal government, county, state, local, why things aren't being done that need to be done. And I think we'll have a little time to address some of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the rhetoric. Everyone's tired of the rhetoric. There are things that can be done. We've been refusing to do them. And from a law enforcement perspective, it really is time for all the governments, state, federal, local, to step up and do some things that they failed to do.
Since we're on that topic, go ahead and expound on that.
Well, what really is the main issue is the liberal, and I'm sorry to make names and so forth, but here's the issue. The defunding of police. Now, of course, the defunding aspect has quieted down, but here's what's literally happening around the country. The number of law enforcement officers has decreased. Back in 2008, there were over 708,000 police officers. We're now down around 697,000. That's a decrease. When America is going in the direction it is, when we're spending billions and trillions of dollars to basically fund other things, why is the federal government, why is not the state and local governments investing in law enforcement? Why don't we have officers at every single school? We've got the money, but we choose to send it to other places, in many cases, money that's not well spent. I just think about, and again, I am fully in support of helping out those in Ukraine and so forth. But we, in this past year, spent $54 billion sent over to Ukraine. What's been added to the law enforcement federal budget? Well, we're down officers. So that's just a little tip of the iceberg. All the politicians that have put out statements about their terrible grief about what happened, decrying what happened, I would like to challenge every single legislator, every single person from federal, state, and local government, keep your rhetoric to yourself unless you're going to provide legislation to increase law enforcement, to increase what's needed to provide safety in our schools and on our streets. Otherwise, it's just noise. It does nothing. It's talking heads, and I am upset about it.
Police have been vilified on so many occasions, and I know that we are seeing a lot of camaraderie. We're seeing a lot of depression that's setting in for law enforcement officers, whether it be at the Border Patrol or whether it be in local precincts as well. The whole aspect of morale has been taking a great hit across our nation.
Well, it has. So law enforcement officers, and again, thank you for pointing out, I spent 32 years in law enforcement. 32 years ago when I joined, it was exciting to be in law enforcement. 90%, by the way, of what law enforcement officers do is help people. There's that 10% of high energy, got to be on your best because something bad is really going down. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement officers do want to help people. I interviewed hundreds of different individuals over my career trying to be get a job with the sheriff's office. It was always, and of course, maybe some just did because they thought it was the right thing to say, but I truly believe the majority of all law enforcement officers, they've got a heart to help people. Now when you have the chiefs and the sheriffs and federal legislators and federal government officials basically constantly going against law enforcement, it's killing morale. It's stopping them from doing the job that they constitutionally were sworn to do. They can't fulfill many of the things because, well, we can't stop this person because it might offend them or it might cause a problem in the community. Well, when we're watching thousands of people every single a decade that are being killed through gun violence and knife violence and just beating each other to death, it's time America changed their rhetoric and started understanding that until we make a concerted effort to allow law enforcement to do their job, until we provide legislation that mandates that law enforcement is a top priority in this country, we're not going to have a better outcome.
I know even today, President Biden signing executive orders on what is said to reform policing practices across the United States, the second anniversary of the death of George Floyd, talking about creating a national registry of officers fired for misconduct, encouraging state and local police to tighten restrictions on chokeholds, no-knock warrants, restrict the transfer of military equipment to law enforcement agencies. I guess what we do, we leave it on the battlefield behind for the enemy to take. But a number of issues coming forth with executive orders, even today, from President Biden.
And it's disturbing. Again, a couple of bad outcomes. And absolutely, I don't deny that we've had a couple of bad outcomes over the last several years. A couple of them. I understand the urban community is sick and tired of, in their opinion, being treated poorly and that the police are, quote unquote, out to get them. Well, I understand where they're coming from, those that live in urban communities. But the amount of, if you will, police misconduct is this minuscule amount that's been blown up because of a couple of, yes, seriously bad, horrible outcomes. Mm-hmm. But the majority of law enforcement, that's not what they're doing. They're trying to prevent things like Texas murders from happening. They're trying to prevent Buffalo situations from happening, other different things that have happened around the country. But when you lessen the amount of officers available on the street, when you take away their funding, when you tie their hands and put them in handcuffs so that they're too afraid to do their job, lest they be placed in prison, it's just killing what God, quite frankly, intended for law enforcement to do. You go back to Genesis chapter 9. God instituted government to protect people, period. Not all this other things that government has gotten into. That was God's design, and unfortunately, the government has corrupted what God originally intended.
I'd like to mention also just the matter of the Second Amendment and gun control. New York Mayor, or former Governor Cuomo, had boasted about New York and all the gun restrictions that's put into place, but yet we point out what just happened in Buffalo. That was in New York itself. We also have the fact that these mass shootings are happening in what's called gun-free zones, which is something to take note of. And even during last night's address, President Biden rehashed some old joke about deer wearing a Kevlar vest. I mean, this is not what the Second Amendment is about, is it?
No, absolutely not. Here's the issue, and here's what many Americans probably don't even realize. There are 350 million Americans today. There are over 400 million guns in America today. What's interesting is Pew Research came out, and it was stated that less than 40% of all Americans own a gun. Now, I'm not sure if that's a good number or not, but here's the issue. There are so many guns on the street, it's been infiltrated. The amount of illegal guns is literally out of control. We find individuals, which I know there's going to be great debate on this, but you have an 18-year-old that supposedly purchased two assault rifles, which led to this Texas incident. So the issue is the Second Amendment is alive and well. 400 million guns in the streets and homes of law-abiding and, unfortunately, non-law-abiding citizens. It's not the Second Amendment has not been violated in any shape, manner, or form. What we're finding, though, is that we're not policing. We're not properly taking care of those and watching those that, quite frankly, shouldn't be having these guns. And then when they do respond, even if it's a legal gun, we don't have enough police officers in place to protect citizens. We're seeing this in a massive, massive way.
And are police frustrated, though, too? I mean, they do the apprehensions, and then they go to court and let out on virtually no bail whatsoever, or they get such a slap on the wrist that repeat offenders, I mean, it's second nature just to go back and do what you did the first time.
Again, and that's exactly correct. And we've seen that here in our own state of Wisconsin. We see it in states all across the country. And again, it's time. If Americans aren't going to, if you will, vote for the proper people and allow this anarchy and chaos to keep coming in, it's no surprise that we're going to keep getting the same result. Mm-hmm. So, yes, deferred prosecution. Well, okay, he's only been arrested 23 times. We'll let him go this time. And maybe on the 24th time, we'll see if we're going to actually charge him. Folks, that's exactly what's taking place. When I was in law enforcement, we would run criminal records. You would have people with 20, 40, 60, 100 different cases, and they just got arrested again. Why are these people on the street? It's because the district attorney's offices and all of the people that work underneath them are allowing people to go home without being charged. Or they get into the court system. They give them light bails, as you mentioned. Or if they are convicted of a crime, they get light sentences. They're in and out of prison in short time, ready to do another crime. So yes, our system is severely broken, but not in the way the media is telling you.
And friends, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be getting to the heart of this issue here on Crosstalk today. So we trust you'll stay with us. Certainly tragedy in Texas today. Our whole nation is grieving as a result, hurting as a result. We do encourage prayer for the many, many families that have been impacted by this. But more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Tragedy in Texas, our topic today here on Crosstalk. Pastor Richard Schmidt with us, who has a background of both law enforcement for over three decades and pastoral ministry and other ministry for a period of time longer than that, and certainly talking about the tragedy that unfolded in Uvalde, Texas yesterday, not too far from some of our outlets out of Dallas, Fort Worth, Lubbock, and also out of the La Mesa area, broadcasting into this area here. And Pastor, I'd like to go back to the president's message last night to the nation. He did call for stricter gun control, but I did not appreciate his taking God's name in vain as often as he did. He did it more than once, but it was outrageous to me how in just recent weeks he has pledged the resources of the federal government, has pledged the resources of the Department of Justice to ensure that we kill babies in the womb, and talk about this ultimate violence against innocent tiny babies in the womb. And then and also at the same time, we have the Department of Justice refusing to uphold the law as it relates to the rantings that are going outside the homes of Supreme Court justices at this time, even threats to the justices, not upholding the law in that regard. So we're disregarding the law there. We're killing the babies in the womb and using the full resources of the federal government to see that that happens. And then to have him come out as he did. What a mixed message that's hits the minds of the people.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing, Jim. Unfortunately, so many individuals, specifically in government, they get a microphone and all of a sudden it's okay to use the Lord's name in vain. At the same time, while they're saying, well, we're praying for the victims and our thoughts. Here's the canned line. Our thoughts and our prayers are with them. Mm. I would find that highly suspect in 90% of the cases of people that say it. Not only are they using the Lord's name in vain, not only is God simply an idea to them, they don't have many of them. I don't know about President Biden and his personal relationship any more than anyone else, but if you have a personal relationship with the Lord and you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're not going to talk like that. It's just it's violating Scripture, and we know it is. So to as you mentioned, killing individuals that aren't even born men. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 said, God made it clear. He knew every single baby before we were born in eternity past. So it is. It's a horrible mixed message. It's okay to kill babies. Then is it okay to kill children that are in the classroom? And everyone, of course, we're going to loudly scream, of course not. It's ridiculous. It's barbaric. So there is. Our country has a massive mixed message. We know the rhetoric. We know the political outcomes that are happening right now. We know the Roe versus Wade. We know all the political rallies that are taking place because people are self-centered, and it all goes to the heart.
And let's talk about the heart of the issue right now as to why did this happen? Why do tragedies like this occur?
Well, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." We are born with, unfortunately, a sin nature. Every single person that comes into this earth that has a human father has the sin nature that's passed to them, according to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 23, verse after verse after verse, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has this sin nature. But unfortunately, unless that sin nature is put into check, which it can be, it's going to run rampant. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Every single one of us, until we make a decision to come to Jesus Christ, that old sin nature can certainly take over and cause the destructive things that we just witnessed in Texas. So how do we change the heart? Well, Jim, this is, of course, it comes to the crux of who we are as Christians. First, we all do acknowledge before you become a Christian, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. There's none of us perfect. Bible tells us because we sin, if we got what we deserved, every single one of us, because of our sin, would spend eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. And God offers this free gift to change that heart, to put, if you will, to put that sin nature in check. You say, how do I do that? Almost every person listening, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, every single person, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, anyone who will put their faith in Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, will not perish or go to hell, but have everlasting life. Jim, the only hope for America, the only hope for our country and this world is for people to get saved, if you will, saved from their sins, saved from the penalty of sin, by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
And until that takes place, things are not going to get better. I mean, the scripture talks about, and we'll go into the Bible prophecy side of this too, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, as it was in the days of Lot. And we see during the times of Noah that man's heart did that which was continuously evil. And scripture warns us that just as it was during Noah's time, so will his coming be here again. And we need to recognize that man's heart back then, man's heart today, is indeed doing that which is continuously evil.
Right. So when, and of course, I made a very strong, multiple strong statements about law enforcement and legislators needing to do their part. But the absolute fact of the matter is until the Church of God, those that are knowing, that do know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, until we get busy doing the work that God told us to do. The last thing Jesus said before he left was to get out there to tell folks about Christ. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 through 20 makes it very clear that we, God's people, are his ambassadors. Jim, we have failed as being God's ambassadors. If we were truly doing our job, if God's people were truly reaching out, telling other folks the greatest news ever given mankind, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, if we were truly going door to door, if we were truly going into our workplace and our schools, sharing the gospel, I think we might see a little different result than we're seeing today. We've been complacent.
We've got many troubled homes today, and just looking at the alleged shooter here from a very troubled background, I mean, it's reported that he shot and wounded his own grandmother prior to the shooting. A person said he was one who was who had cut his own face with a knife just for fun. He cut up his face with knives over and over. Another person indicated he would shoot at strangers with a BB gun from a car. That he had a very aggressive streak. He was said to be rude toward girls, even threatening them at times. It said he stopped showing up at school, was not going to graduate, and was angry and was not going to graduate. And he was we're told that he was even in this argument with his grandmother in regard to that aspect. He was bullied over a speech impediment that included a stutter and a lisp. One classmate indicated he had posted an Instagram story showing himself screaming at his mother and called her a name, which we're not going to repeat, and tried to kick as she tried to kick him out of the house. Another neighbor said to the grandmother, indicated that the alleged shooter had used to play the first person shooter game Call of Duty with her son. And it was said that he even hinted on social media that an attack could be coming. Many things going on in this life. And you talk about the impact that one believer can have upon this world. I mean, ministering to individuals from such a troubled past and background here.
Well, it's horrendous. And we find it over and over and over again. And we have every social agency under the sun is in our urban centers, our rural centers. And it's all this social engineering. It's not gospel-centered. It is not going to change the heart. I've been saying this for year after year after year. Government does not change the heart. Only God can do that. So we can have all the social programs in the world. We'll fail. If we're going to simply do things from a secular standpoint, if we're going to keep getting committees of violence prevention, it's not going to work. We've proven it's not going to work. So then what is the hope for America? What is the hope for these young people that are out of control? Well, how about mom and dad getting in the game and start controlling their children and start raising them with biblical principles? How about mom and dad determine they're going to stay together and have a family and stop running from each other, which is unfortunately epidemic proportions, especially in our urban areas. How about getting back to the centrality of who Christ is in one's life and getting back in church? Jim, it's unfortunate. The churches are, some are growing. I'm glad to say our church has been growing, but most churches across the country, they, especially during the pandemic, they either shut down, they refuse to go to difficult places, they give social messages with a social gospel and refuse to come out with biblical mandates. Jim, we've got to get back to preaching the Bible, to telling folks not just about Christ, but how you're supposed to live. It's all right there in that little book called the Bible.
It really is. And how can we expect the world to follow in steps like this if we within our churches are not doing this, families within our churches? And we've got churches that are falling apart. We've got churches that are not preaching the word. We've got families that are breaking up on same rates as perhaps what we see out in the world. But this whole matter needs to begin with the individual and with individual families within the church.
You know, Proverbs warns us, and Solomon told his son, listen, son, guard your heart. Watch what you're doing. Stay right with me. And again, it goes right back to the basic things. If mom and dad aren't doing what they're supposed to do, everything's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. We're watching the family fall apart through socialism and Marxism and all these different philosophies. We're watching schools fall apart, telling young people that basically mom and dad don't run you, the school runs you. So it's a systemic issue. It's government trying to get into the minds of children, take them away from God, mocking those who do have a relationship with Christ. And it's just the entire system, the entire governmental system is upside down right now. And unless we have, and Jim, the only word that comes to mind, an old-fashioned revival, we're in a bad place.
So no matter how many gun laws we have in place, if the heart isn't taken care of, it's to no avail.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Hmm. Friends, we're talking with Pastor Richard Schmidt here today on Crosstalk. Yes, he's the same one that was with us just a little over a week ago and talking through the gospel, hearing his own testimony, and certainly encouraging you to be a gospel witness as well. We have mailed out hundreds of these books, Are You Going to a Better Place? The Question That Demands an Answer. And just want to repeat, here are the offer today on Crosstalk, because this is something that you can give to an unsaved individual, something that can motivate you in your own walk with the Lord. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you've been on the fence wondering, how do I treat this issue? And just this matter of eternity and where you stand with God. I'll just repeat this. We have one copy of the book available for donation of $10, three copies available for donation of $24. Five copies available for donation of $30. You can see the desire is to get multiple copies in your hand to have you disperse to others. It's available online, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or call us at 800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829. But that's really at the root of all of this, Pastor, is where am I, you know, am I going to a better place? Am I going to spend eternity in heaven? And is my life living a life that's modeled after Jesus Christ?
Well, fortunately, God is not like our judicial system. God makes it very clear. And the question is there, are you going to a better place? And there's many people listening right now that may not be sure. There's also many people listening that are sure, but they can use, as you will, this tool that we're providing at a low cost, because we want to get this out. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that can be used to help point people to Christ. Are you going to a better place, or quite frankly, a much worse place?
Yeah, yeah. Well, friends, again, the number for that is 800-729-9829. To request copies of that book. If you'd like to get on board with us on Crosstalk, a comment, a question, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Phone lines are open, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Pastor Richard Schmidt from Union Grove Baptist Church, also heads a ministry called Prophecy Focused Ministries, and Pastor, that website for the ministry?
Probably the easiest one to go to is prophecyfocus.org, prophecyfocus.org.
Okay. And just on this topic, and we talk about times getting worse and worse, I understand that the statistics that are coming forth from the FBI on active shooting incidences are not declining.
No, unfortunately, they're multiplying exponentially. Article that just came out, FBI counts 61 active shooter incidents in 2021, up 52% from 2020. If you had the graph in front of you, which I know our listeners can't see, but from 2000 up until 2021, it's just a constant incline of unfortunate incidents. So back in 2000, there were probably less, about maybe five incidents. Now 2021, we're looking at 61, and who knows how many have already happened this year. It's just off the charts bad.
Well, friends, again, we're seeing men and evil waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I see our phone lines are packed. We're going to pick up your calls here today on Crosstalk. Let's begin in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, good afternoon. I noticed this morning the USA Today, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a very Marxist liberal newspaper, had a graph showing about white supremacy. They got to keep the hatred going. They got to keep it alive. Basically, what they're doing is they're riding piggyback off this horrible tragedy, which happened down in Texas. I thought that was disgusting and below the belt. I can't describe it. That's horrible to do such a terrible thing like that. So fuel the hatred all the more. More hatred. Oh, they got the graphs and the charts. Yeah, you got to pick it up. USA Today. I wish somebody would call into that newspaper and just kind of let them have it because that was horrible.
Thank you, Dave, for the comment there. And, you know, we will capitalize on a shooting such as Buffalo, so to speak. You know, the president didn't go there. But ignore another shooting that happens where we have a black American or an Asian American meeting out their vengeance.
Absolutely. And this isn't about racism. And when you look at the shooting that just took place, it's not about a white supremacist. The person wasn't white at all. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I'm not trying to defend the whites. I'm not trying to, if you will, defend any particular culture or ethnic group. What we need to do is get away from the name calling and the finger pointing and get back to the basics. Why are we not controlling individuals that are out of control without having a sufficient number of law enforcement officers and having proper penalties? That's the real issue.
And getting to the matter of the heart, and that knows no skin color.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Gwendolyn calling from Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Gwendolyn, you're on the air.
Hello and good day. I listen to you guys every day pretty much, and I do enjoy the station that I have at 1520. But my concern is, doesn't the Lord have people planted in all walks of life, doctors, mental health professionals, I mean, different areas where that we can reach people where God has planted us besides just in the pulpit and just in the church. I mean, he has his people planted everywhere.
Yes.
And I'm quite sure that some of the children were raised correctly and some may not have been. But I'm just saying, doesn't the Lord have his children planted everywhere? And I need
Great.
An answer to that.
Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it, Pastor.
Well, Gwendolyn, you just thrilled my heart because, yes, God does have Christians planted everywhere in every different field. law enforcement, doctors, lawyers, you name it, every single trade. Here's the issue, though. Unfortunately, most of us keep quiet. We do not use the voice that God given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 commands that we are his ambassadors, that we go out and tell folks we've got to use our voice. God uses people, and he wants to use us. So until we decide that we're going to take up the cross, if you will, and start sharing the gospel, giving out literature, giving out tracts, giving out books, talking to people, we will fail. We've got to get out of complacency.
And further, you've got to use, and just to echo what Pastor is saying here, you've got to use that sphere of influence that you have. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to this program today, you will come in contact with people that I never will, that Pastor never will. You have, whether it be in your neighborhood, your job, it's no accident God has placed you where you're at. It might be in healthcare profession. It might be as an auto mechanic. It might be in a daycare. Any field there, it may be even within your own home and in your neighborhood. To take that circle of contacts that are around you to make the difference where you are. And certainly, as Scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it behooves each of us, Pastor, no matter where God has placed us, to say, I'm not here by accident. I'm here for such a time as this. I'm located here for such a place as this to be a light.
Very much so. And I love what you just said. For such a time as this, we have got to speak up. We have got to stop silencing ourselves. We have got to stop worrying about if somebody's going to be offended or if they're going to the cancel culture concept. Until we pick up and use the voice God gave us and start to proclaim the greatest news ever given to mankind, we will not reach the lost. So we just got to get busy.
Jim is calling next. Hi, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Yes, I'm dealing with some issues right now, like yesterday and today. First of all, back in the day, you know, when students used to bring their guns to school and, you know, for hunting, whatever, and they had God in schools, and they didn't have incidents like this. And now they've taken God out of schools, and myself as a Gideon, we have such resistance in various schools to get God's word to the students, and I'm working on that right now. And so we covered your prayers for that. We're out there pounding the pavement trying to get God's word into these students' hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also there's a Christian lady in a local school here that spoke up about they're keeping some sexual preference issues away from the parents, and she spoke up, and she might lose her job. So she's a Christian lady. Keep her in your prayers as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim, for raising that issue here today. And, Pastor, I know so oftentimes when tragedy happens, we say, where were you, God? Why did this happen? But we've kicked them out from our council meetings. We've kicked them out from our schools. We belittle those who would hold any kind of Christian values. And then when tragedy comes, we blame God.
Well, that's unfortunately the way of man. Here's the great news. We do still have VCY. We do still have networks of Christian stations going out. We still do have active local churches. We still do have thousands and thousands, millions of Christians across the country and the world. If we will simply get out there and let our voice be known and stop being silenced by, if you will, the majority of people may not love Christ, but those of us that do, if we are silenced and if we're scared by the noise of the liberal society, of the school systems, of the governmental systems, we won't progress. Use the voice God gave you, and we can make a difference through God's help.
John is our next caller. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. This country, and maybe the world in particular, I don't know who, has tossed the family. They have tossed God. And lately, they have tossed patriotism. This is a godless society, the United States. And then last night, our dictator-in-chief or whatever he is, for God's sake, he doesn't say that for abortion. The human life in our society has been so devalued, from the elderly to the killing of children. You're so desensitized to this. And one last thing, if I could say, and I didn't say this to your screener, but it just came up. Talk about mental health. These are the same people who are pushing you into same sex and in sex changes. So keep the parents out of it, and the government knows all. And I say that as sarcasm. Mm. Thank you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call here today. And aren't we seeing just such a mockery of biblical values everywhere? I mean, you put on network media, the sitcoms and everything are making fun of marriage and the family and biblical values. I mean, the father in the home is the buffoon in many cases, and we constantly are putting down that which Scripture holds up.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case, and I brought this out many times. One of the few things I agreed with President Obama on several administrations ago was we are now in a post-Christian era. The reason we're in a post-Christian era is because God's people are not being vocal. We're not taking a stand. We're not moving into our communities, our schools. We're not going to the school boards. We're not spending enough time. I know politics is not the answer, but we've got to put the right people in the right places. So, yes, the sanctity of life has been absolutely ruined because we no longer have a Christian nation where the sanctity of life has meaning. And also, he mentioned the mental health issue. Mental health is a huge issue, but when we get down to that, if we're going to try and help people from a secular standpoint and not bring God into it, it's really tragic. A lot of this is behavioral issues, not simply psychosomatic issues or things that literally are could potentially be helped with drugs. We're talking about 90% of this is probably behavioral issues that people just haven't been trained properly.
And we're talking about an explosion of mental health issues through the COVID response that we had across this land as well.
Right. It's emotional. The people are depressed. They're upset. And yes, that does affect your mental capacity, if you will. But how can these things change? Well, again, and we keep coming back to the centrality of who Christ is, what he promised to do, what he said he would help us do through the Scriptures. Until we get our folks back in church and get a biblical worldview, we're not going to get anywhere.
We've got Tommy calling from Ostrander, Minnesota. Hi, Tommy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. A lot of what you've said is kind of stealing my thunder, but let me add this. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and we don't want Jesus Christ in our schools. So, we get what we get. I would like to know a little bit more about this boy that did all the shooting. Did he witness his mom murdering one of his little brothers or sisters at one time? And was he allowed to play all kinds of violent video games? Violent video games are a horrible addition to our nation's crime problem. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for that. And yeah, earlier we did go through a litany of some of the issues for him, and one of those was the neighbor indicating his playing of the Call of Duty video game.
Well, Tommy just brought up a huge point, and I'm going to make a whole lot of people mad right now. Here's the issue. In our Christian homes, we have these violent video games. Murder is on television constantly. Our young people are seeing violence over and over again. Murder is nothing. Killing is nothing. It's just become part of not only the secular culture, but it's infiltrated our churches. I'm pleading with parents, watch what your kids are watching. Watch what you're watching. Watch the video games. Watch what's going on your children's phones, which 99% of parents have no clue what they're watching. The violence is off the charts. The inappropriateness is off the charts. Immorality is off the charts. And until we get a hold of the media, especially the media that our children and teenagers and young people are watching, again, we're just asking for trouble until we, as parents, as individuals, get a hold on the media that we're allowed to come into our homes. We invite the devil in constantly, and we blow it off as like, well, you know, my kids are going to do what they're going to do. Why, parent?
Yeah.
Why?
And it's not sending them to their room. If you're going to play that game, then go in your room and close the door.
Not appropriate.
Not at all. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, also a law enforcement background of over three decades. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk as we discuss the tragedy in Texas, but sadly, the tragedy's taken place in homes and communities all across the country. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In November of 2021, a group known as NTI, Nuclear Threat Initiative, put out a report of a fake country that had an outbreak of monkeypox. And in the report, they said it would outbreak in May of 2022, May 15th, 2022, to be precise. Well, guess what? That's pretty much when we started hearing about monkeypox in the news overseas and now in America. They went on to describe the goal, the objective, give more power to the World Health Organization, which is China, which is also the biggest funder of WHO, reported to be Bill Gates. So do you want the UN, Bill Gates, and China running our healthcare system and telling us when there's an emergency and when we have to shut down our businesses and our churches and our schools and stay inside? If we don't fight this global tyranny, that's what's coming. They've already gamed it, and now it's being rolled out. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Let me just mention the book that Pastor Richard Schmidt has written, Are You Going to a Better Place? The Questions That Demands an Answer. Again, it's a book that not only presents his own personal testimony, which we shared on Crosstalk just a little over a week ago, but also is a very compelling book to give to another on this matter of eternity. And it's so many times we're just rolling the dice, as the cover on the book shows, as to how the outcome is going to be. But friends, we don't have to gamble our lives away. We can certainly know, as Scripture tells us, that we are on our way to heaven and how we can have our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. Again, one copy available, donation of $10, three copies, a donation of $24, five copies, a donation of $30, available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. We have Lee calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Lee, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. Question, why do incidents of school shootings seem to happen in this country and not in other countries of the world, including our neighbor to the north, namely Canada? I never hear about anything like this happening up there. It just seems that this country has become so morally depraved compared to other countries. And that's what I wanted to mention.
Okay, thank you very much. We do know that there are mass shootings outside the United States as well, Pastor.
Well, we do. And again, when I'm asked about issues like this, why is America different than other countries? I don't dissect other countries, but I do dissect America, and I look at what is the trending pattern right now. We are watching as America has the beginning stages of socialism that have entered in. We're watching as the media has been downgrading America from what was a once principled godly country to one where morality's thrown out, ethics are thrown out, situational ethics are pulled in. And when you constantly are informing young people in your schools and in your homes and through the media, and all of these different things have compounded now to where the American mind, for the most part, is, if you will, compromised. I don't know any better way to state that. So Americans right now, we're going through a horrifically horrible time with the gun violence, with violence as a whole, with a lack of law enforcement, with a lack of accountability, with a lack of government that will enforce laws. All of these things and many more, the destruction of the family, the destruction of government, and the buttering down of church, the three main institutions God put on the earth, government, family, and the church, all of them have been infected by what's taking place. I hate to put it this way, but Satan, unfortunately, is winning. And unless we go back on the offense as God's people, start doing it. I've said this 15 times already today. Until we get back in the game, if you will, and start doing what God's called us to do, this decline is not going to stop.
Yeah, and friends, you can just do searches online as well here very quickly, as I'm doing right now, and find that, you know, we remember the German Christmas shooting that took place. There was also France, 130 killed. University College campus in northeastern Kenya, 2015, 147 people killed. And on and on. You can find numerous instances. Our focus today, of course, is what's happening in this nation here, the United States of America. And certainly we are seeing hearts that are depraved and need to come to the Savior. Greg is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Schmidt. I am with the National Parents Organization, and I want to comment on something you said earlier about the breakup of the family. Why don't parents just stay together? Well, I really hate to say this because the church is way behind on this. Christian author Stephen Baskerville has written brilliant books. One of them is called Taken Into Custody, The War Against Fathers. If you walk into the family courts, the vast majority of divorces are litigated by the mother. And in almost every case, the father is taken away from his children. And I'm talking about good fathers, okay? And, you know, Stephen Baskerville has detailed this, and the church has ignored it. They do not exalt the father the way they exalt the mother. Feminism has just penetrated the courts. It is part of the problem. I'll bet this boy did not have a father in his life. In some cases, it's because the father abandons. But I can tell you, having worked over 20 years as an activist with the National Parents Organization, it is not that case. There are many, many good fathers mislabeled as deadbeat dads in jail who have, in effect, been beaten dead by the system. And I just hope that you would consider reading Dr. Stephen Baskerville. He's Great. A Christian, and he's got it right.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, Greg, I appreciate your comments, and here's the issue. The issue is if, and this is a massive ish, and if in our society, if mom and dad would both get their hearts right and both follow the Lord, these issues wouldn't end up in court, nor would somebody end up in jail who obviously has done something to earn the right, if you will, to go to jail. We're talking about, we can't change what's happened in the past. That's done and over with. What we're looking at is how do we change the future? How do we get people to stay out of criminal situations? How do we get them? How do we get families to get along with each other so they don't end up in divorce court? Yes, all those things are definitely outcomes that are taking place, but we can't change the past. We've got to start getting families back on track, stop going through constant fights and divorces and all these things until we solidify the family and get back to where mom and dad are actually going to fall in love with each other and stay in love, even though it's a tough, tough job sometimes. We can't change the family.
Greg, thank you for the call. We're going to squeeze in Neil O'Neill in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air. Hi, O'Neill.
Bless you, gentlemen.
Very quickly, we're almost out of time.
Yes, I want to comment quickly that the Bible says it's a spiritual warfare. And the church for too long has been taking a reactive approach towards situation and not a proactive approach. And that is very important. For too long, we have been, the parents especially, have been opening doors, allowing the kids to play the video games, watch the violent movie. And then we expect everything to go as well. When you open the door to demonic entity and influence, then this is the result of what we see yesterday, which is very tragic.
It is, and I'm going to have to cut you off, and I apologize, O'Neill, because our theme music is already playing here for the close. Pastor, final comment.
Well, final comment. I thank you for that. The Bible tells, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Folks, until we get back to God, put him first in our life, trust in Christ as the only outcome. Government will never do us any good. Only God can change the heart.
Pastor, thanks for being with us today. Again, the website, prophecyfocus.org. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.